It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh yes, hello, welcome, one and all. It is a beautiful Monday, August 21st, 2023. It's 40 degrees outside, high is going to be 40, so I'm inside where it is, 20-something? Hold on, I can't quite see my wall thermometer, but it looks like, there it is, yeah, it's 23°C here inside the house. I like to keep it cool. But anyway, welcome to a rare edition of News to Me inside the apartment, inside the house. I've got my laptop that I couldn't really broadcast from when we were in Portland. I've gone ahead and I've got the headphones. I have some more of the sound effects discovered. I found this guy.
Get the news over with.
Get
the news over with. I want to hear the music.
You may not remember him, but that was a sound effect I used to use quite a lot. Always played the song in the middle of the show, but stopped whenever I started doing it mostly on the phone from the roof. So, anywho, let me fire up Calm. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, you can totally do that. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org or tty.sdf.org if you would like. I remember now. My TMUX acted up last time, so I killed it. So I was like, why am I not in comm already? All you need to do is SSH over, and then once you're at the command prompt, just type COM and then press enter. And once you do, boom, you'll be connected to comm, and then you can press G for go to and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom, you will be hanging out with cool people in the Anon Radio room, like Tobe. And Tobe is artless. Oh no. Quentin, User FXNet, the Z-Man, Zerhoff, and the whole rest of the crew. User FXNet, Ratsu, X1's probably floating around in the ether, Jazzmaz, always listening. Man. Anyway, it's exciting to get to do some news. I've got a lot of work pending, so I'm kind of go, trying to rush. That's how it goes. All right, so let's get started. We pretty much start the way we always start, and that, my friends. Oh man, I've lost that skill. That, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right, the world news. So, death, destruction, all that jazz. Let's get it right. I think what it is because I'm using one laptop screen instead of two screens. Anyway, let's get going. So we start in Saudi Arabia. Saudi border guards have been accused of killing hundreds of Ethiopians using small arms and explosive weapons in a targeted campaign that rights advocates suggest may amount to a crime against humanity. The shocking claims are made in detailed investigation by Human Rights Watch. Hey, J.R. Sharp is in the house. Welcome. We'll go ahead here. I'll throw that as a link. Link in the comm there. Alright. Shocking claims have been made in a detailed investigation by Human Rights Watch, which interviewed dozens of Ethiopian people who said they were attacked by border guards while they tried to cross into Saudi Arabia from Yemen. Last week, Downing Street confirmed that Rishi Sunak plans to welcome Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to London at the earliest opportunity. It would be the first visit since the death in 2018 of the Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi, who U.S. intelligence believe was murdered and dismembered by Saudi agents in Istanbul on the orders of Prince Mohammed. Hey, Jay LaMoth is in the house, but Postfix isn't relaying mail. Yeah, that can be a real time sink, I tell you what. Hey, and Overland's in the house. Welcome, Overland. Welcome, welcome. But yeah, howdy, guys. Yeah, it postfix one of those things, man. Once you get your like mail forwarding set up the way you want, when it doesn't work right, it's very frustrating. I messed up my Pine RC file, and it just made me so mad that I switched to Firefox. That's kind of how that's going. Hey, all right, and Bob Jonkman has joined. Welcome, welcome. I don't know who's an active web dev, Overland, but yeah, as Quentin points out, postfix is great until it stops working. Very true. Very true. Postfix minus minus. All right. Witness testimony describes mass killings with women and children dying in shelling and dead people and body parts spread along trails. And let's see if we can get this image here. Since we're on comm, I'm live in comm, I can share these links again. Map. And if you didn't know, I love maps, so it's always fun to look at one. If you go to sdf.org/l/15u, that's sdf.org/lima/15uniform, all lowercase, and boom, you will see that. Overland hasn't talked to Carbine in like a billion years. Hey, one of alts, welcome, welcome. It's not airing out. Messages are disappearing. Oh, yeah. It's probably fulfilling a rule. It's probably deleting them. Or catching whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I can't. Can't do both. Let's keep on moving. Sorry, I'll get sucked in if I start thinking about stuff. I'm a problem. I'm attracted to problems. All right. In Israel, a woman shot dead in attack on car in southern West Bank. Coming to us from the BBC, an Israeli woman has been killed and a man seriously wounded in a suspected Palestinian shooting attack on a car near Hebron in the occupied West Bank. Two dozen bullets were reportedly fired from a passing vehicle on a highway close to the settlement of Beit Haggai. The woman has been named. A girl was also in the car, said to be her daughter, was unharmed. The Israeli military said its soldiers were pursuing the suspects and that roadblocks had been set up in the area. Palestinian media reported they had encircled Hebron and were questioning Palestinians trying to enter or leave the city. The woman who was killed was a mother of three and nursery teacher who lived in Beit Haggai, according to Israeli media. She and her six-year-old daughter had hitched a ride to their home from the man driving the car. The Palestinian militant group Hamas praised the attack, calling it a natural response to Israel's settlement construction in the West Bank. Later, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the scene and said Israel was in the midst of a terror attack and that was encouraged, guided, funded by Iran and its satellite states. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Health Ministry said six Palestinians were shot and wounded by Israeli forces in the northern West Bank, and one person was hit in the head in critical condition in the hospital. This is amid another spike in violence in the West Bank. On Saturday, Israeli man and his son were shot dead by Palestinian gunmen. This is interesting. Reading the stories from BBC, reading the stories from Al Jazeera, you can definitely taste the bias. Let's see what's going on in com here. Does the word Remy come from ether? Oh, really? Oh, Ethernet? Or ether the drug. Yeah. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, you can taste the bias on both sides. All right. So, yeah, Israel and them are having a fun time fighting it out. Here in the United States, Laura Carlton was shot because she flew an LGBTQ flag. Where did this happen? Alabama? No. Mississippi? No. Tributes are pouring in for a beloved California business owner who was shot dead by a man who complained about a pride flag hanging at her store. The unnamed individual killed Laura Carlton, age 66, at her business, Magpie Clothing. That's M-A-G-P-I, like the space P-I, like pie, the number. clothing store after making several disparaging remarks about a rainbow flag that stood outside the store, according to the San Bernardino Sheriff's Office. Deputies responded to the incident around 5 p.m. on Friday, following reports of shots fired. The mother of 9 children was pronounced dead at the scene. The shooter fled the scene on foot, but was later located near Torrey Road and Rouse Rancho Road. The suspect, who has not been identified, was killed during a lethal force encounter with police. Hollywood director Paul Feig, whose works includes Bridesmaids and The Heat, posted a tribute saying that Carlton, who he called his wonderful friend, had been killed by a young man. So, very sad, very sad. Hey, one of vaults. Oh, interesting. The roof. You know, the roof used to be very, very popular. But I think the issue is that the roof, also, if you look, everyone's been dumped off. All the idlers got kicked off a while back. But, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Used to, the roof was pretty busy as a communications place. But not so much anymore. I don't know. What do you guys think? Good call out. All right. Let's keep on going with the news. There's so much death, destruction happening. Let's talk about economic death. China is cutting key interest rates as recovery is faltering. China's central bank has cut one of its key interest rates for the second time in 3 months as the world's second largest economy struggles to bounce back from the pandemic. The United States saw this a while back, too. The People's Bank of China lowered its one-year loan prime rate to 3.45% from 3.55%. The country's post-COVID recovery has been hit by a property crisis, falling exports, and weak consumer spending. In contrast, other major economies have raised rates to tackle high inflation. The PBOC last cut its one-year rate, on which most of China's household and business loans are based, in June. Junbei Liu from Tribeca Investment Partners told the BBC that the move is unlikely to have a major impact, but does indicate the Chinese government's commitment to reviving the economy. Yeah, Ratsu remembers this too. It used to be always two times whatever a non-radios was. So yeah, very interesting. Oh, look at this. Quentin coming in clutch with post-fix troubleshooting. What do we got here? If you're not seeing positive indications in your logs that the other MX is handshaking, accepting mail, etc., then you may want to turn up your logging. One of vaults, I only set up a mail server once and then it was closed due to insufficient payment. Fairly educational. all right. Yeah, so a non-radio is 35 years old or so, and SDF is, what, 36, I guess? I don't know. Yeah, I think there's been a streaming platform for quite a while, but I don't know the history, the old history. You'd have to find somebody like SMJ to tell you that story. All right. At least 30,000 households in British Columbia have been told to evacuate. About 30,000 households have been ordered to evacuate in British Columbia, with nearly 400 wildfires are raging. Two huge fires in the Shuswap region merged overnight, destroying blocks of houses, and other buildings. No word if any regulatory body approved the merger, but to the south, travel to the waterside by the city of Kelowna has been restricted, and smoke from nearby fire hangs over Lake Okanagan. Fires have charred homes in West Kelowna and a nearby city of 36,000. The travel restriction around there is designed to ensure enough accommodations for evacuees and emergency workers. It also applies to the towns of Kamloops, Oliver, Penticton, Vernon, and Osuyus. Hundreds of miles north, a huge fire continues to edge towards the city of Yellowknife. An official deadline to evacuate the city lapsed on Friday. A local officer said later that day that nearly all residents had left, either by car or plane. About 19,000 of the city's 20,000 inhabitants have evacuated. 39 patients were moved out of the hospital to find alternative facilities on Friday, making them the last people to leave. Let's see. Do, do, do. UserFXNet and AE can't wait for our hours. Oh, yeah. What is the show name? I want to talk about this. There's a show coming up later this week that we want to... Let's go ahead and talk about all the shows coming out on and on radio. Stick around at 1930 UTC every goddamn day. We've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's a fun show where we kind of experience a slice of life with our good pal Tobe. We hang out with his cat, play around with some synthesizers. Sometimes we go outside and chill. You know, there's all sorts of things. Ball joint dolls, knives on sticks, synthesizers, all sorts of stuff. So definitely tons of cool and fun stuff to do. So stick around for that. And then also today being Monday at 20 hours, we've got Mix Remix with Harry Larry. It's a freely licensed or loosely licensed music show that happens every Monday at 20 hours to at you know, in an hour from when this show started. And then Harry Larry also has a show at 20 hours on Fridays called Something Blue, and that's more of a blues show. Then we've got other shows coming up since we've got them in the DJs in comm. We've got Special Ed. I don't see one. I don't see it on the upcoming list, so it's too far in the future for me. But anyway, we got Special Ed and Lit Up on Linux coming along. Keep an eye out for those. Let's go to anonradio.net and tell you the date or the right times. Pew, 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 pew. Sorry, I thought this would be. I thought the shows were going to be tomorrow, so I was using the equal sign. Lit Up on Linux is on Thursdays at 00 UTC, so it'll be Wednesday night for most listeners in the United States. And then Special Ed is after that at 0100 hours on Thursday. So again, that'll be on Wednesday night. Tune in from 00 to 0100 for that. And you'll have a good time. Whew, excuse me, I'm not used to... man, I'm all over the place. All right, focus. Focus. We're focusing. All right. Doodaloo, doodaloo, doodaloo. All right. Here we go. Let's talk about it. There's a lot of other stuff. A lot of other destruction. Death. What else could happen? A Russian dam burst. It washed away a railroad, and the economy is expected to lose billions of dollars. The Russian economy could lose billions of rubles after a destroyed dam in the Siberian region of Buryatia caused a river to burst its banks and damage a key transit railway. The banks of the river overflowed and affected part of an important transit rail link through the Severo-Bakhyl district on the eastern Siberian side of the republic, Regional Governor Alexei wrote on Telegram on Saturday. Russia's economy has already been threatened by Western sanctions leveled at Moscow over its invasion of Ukraine, aiming to cut off Russia from its resources to wage the war effort. A map showing, and if you know there's a map, you know I'm going to try and share it with you. A map showing the district of Russia's far east region. The Russian economy will lose billions after a destroyed dam burst. So let's get that here. Boop, boop, boop. Dam map. All right, you can get there at sdf.org/l/15v. That's sdf.org/lima/15victor, all lowercase, sdf.org/l/15v or l/15v. Yeah, Quentin pointing out, yeah, it's weird that these dams are so unstable all of a sudden. Ooh, man, I want to go to a kebab place. That sounds so good. I want some kebab. We used to have a kebab place in Austin, but they got too big too fast and they buckled. South Africa refuses to be bullied to side with global powers. South Africa will not be forced to side with any global powers, Cyril Ramaphosa said on Sunday, as he readied to host a summit of major emerging economies. The meeting in Johannesburg this week of BRICS nations, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, will seek to widen their influence and push for a shift in global geopolitics. South Africa's hosting of the summit has turned a spotlight on its ties with the Kremlin, especially as it has refused to condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine. While some of our detractors prefer overt support for their political and ideological choices, will not be drawn into a contest between global powers, Ramaphosa said in a televised State of the Nation address. We have resisted pressure to align ourselves with any of the global powers or with the influential blocs of nations, he said. Ramaphosa will be joined at the BRICS summit by Chinese President Xi Jinping, India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and Brazil's President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. Russia will be represented by Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, the president participating online. Putin decided against attending in person as he is the target of an international criminal court arrest warrant that South Africa is in theory bound to enforce. That was a big question about what was going on. Oh man, kebab is Korean style kebab, and I'm here for it. Oh weird. Oh man, so good. There's so much good food in the world. It makes me sad anytime I'm eating like a Pop-Tart or something. I'm just like, oh, les ous sont très importants sur le pied. Patent pending. Okay. Anyway, some 50 other leaders who were not BRICS members, among them Iran and Indonesian presidents, have confirmed they will attend the talks. So this is very cool and very exciting. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, representing a big chunk of the world that is has lots of resources, just waiting to get them out. Oh man, we don't have time to go into it. Al Jazeera has two explainers out about the Chinese economy and what's going on. If you're curious about what's happening in China or why their interest rates are falling when we're having ours rise, this is a good one to read, but it's at Al Jazeera, so check that out. Oh, man. Now I want some dulce bibimbap. So let's talk about something less serious, more delicious. Minimally sought out after at home, heavily demanded globally, vanilla. Growing the spice has been a craze in Uganda, but farmers are now questioning whether it's worth it. When Mukasa ventured into vanilla in 2018, he was banking on hopes of making money. The spice was selling at $80 per kilogram at the time. But he also knew that that could fall tenfold. I decided to plan it, targeting 20,000 shillings per kilogram. So that is when I started planting. But then I also started small, with around 5 plants. So I went up, adding more and more with time, according to a local farmer. To protect vanilla farmers, the government started declaring the harvest period, a probable time that considers patterns in different regions of the country. The beans mature first in the West. The official harvesting period opened on July 17th. As dealers wind up with sales, farmers are already planning for the next harvest. The date that was set is not absolute. It's either minus or plus. It's an estimate. You can't have a single date for all growers across the country, and yet we have different agronomical regions in the country. So anyway, the fluctuation on the global market has left vanilla farmers stranded. A kilogram now goes for a little over a dollar. The government is asking farmers to be patient because it has a unique characteristic. We advise those that already have it not to destroy it, because you will destroy it today and tomorrow, the demand will go up again, and the price will go up. So please be patient. Government statistics show that by the end of 2022, the country exported vanilla worth $11 million. From his 2-acre farm, Dan's first harvest is just a few kilograms. But when his and the output of all growers in the Uganda is aggregated, the country ranks number 2 exporter of vanilla on the continent after Madagascar. So, very scary times. If you're a vanilla farmer right now, going down to a dollar when you were looking for 80 is tough. Oh man, I hope your Greek restaurant opens up soon, Tobe. That Greek restaurant looked really good. Jim and Jenny's Greek Village. If you're ever in the area, you can call for carryout at 402-571-2857 or visit them at Jim and Jenny's Greek Village at 3026 North Goth Street. 68134. I bookmarked them. I hope that's okay to do an ad for them. All right. Pioneering wind-powered cargo ship set sail. That's right. We've traveled back in time. Not really. But this image hopefully will make it clearer what's going on. It's a WebP, so maybe you will be able to render that. But that's what they've got for sails. They don't look like normal sails. A cargo ship fitted with giant, rigid British-designed sails has set out on its maiden voyage. Shipping firm Cargill, which was chartered the vessel, hopes the technology will help the industry chart a course towards a greener future. The wind wing sails are designed to cut fuel consumption and therefore the shipping carbon footprint. It's estimated the industry is responsible for about 2.1% of global carbon dioxide emissions. The Pyxis Ocean's maiden journey from China to Brazil will provide the first real-world test of the wind wings, an opportunity to assess whether a return to the traditional way of propelling ships could be the way forward for moving cargo at sea. Folded down when the ship is in port, the wings are opened out when it is in open water. They stand 123 feet or 37.5 meters tall and are built of the same material as wind turbines. Enabling a vessel to be blown along by the wind rather than rise slowly on its engine could help, hopefully eventually reduce a cargo ship's lifetime emissions by 30%. We'll see what's happening there. Oh man, talking about mosquitoes. The URL for... Oh, hey, welcome, X1. Cyril from Quentin. I can't. We've only got 3 minutes to go. We have to focus. There's other news stories I want to make sure and mention. India says that its spacecraft heading for the moon is working perfectly. All systems on the Indian spacecraft heading to the moon are working perfectly, and no contingencies are anticipated on the landing day, the country's space station said on Monday, days after the failure of a Russian lander. India's Chandrayaan-3 spacecraft is on course to land on August 23rd and on the lunar South Pole, a region where shadowed craters are thought to contain water ice, which could support a future moon settlement. Quentin pointing out, cargo sailie boys look different than I'd expect. Exactly, that's what I thought was very cool about them, is they do look very different than you'd expect. What else is going on? Fuel's being loaded into Vodal 3. The process of loading the 157 fuel assemblies into the core of the second AP-1000, Alpha Papa 1000 reactor at the site is pivotal for the reactor, which has a projected in-service date of late this year or early 2024. So, pretty cool. That's 103 grams. Fuel loading began after Southern Nuclear's receipt in July of a 103G finding from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, confirming all systems go, basically. The new fuel assemblies, each one contains 264 fuel rods, are now being transferred one at a time from the reactor's used fuel pool into its core. The Westinghouse-designed reactor's fuel has been manufactured at the Columbia Fuel Fabrication Facility in South Carolina. So, very exciting stuff. We'll get some more nuclear power online. Luna 25 crashed into the moon when an entry burn didn't go as planned. RIP Luna 25, coming to us from Quentin. X1 chiming in to let us know that cargo ships are responsible for a very small percentage of pollution caused by your made in China goods. So the Russian lander failed, but if you remember, they were rushing. The Russians were rushing to get there. All that jazz. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee and Harry Larry. See you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.